Siding Unlimited, named the best window installers, not just here, but in the whole USA. Get the best. Siding Unlimited, 5-time winner as America's best window installer. For windows you call Siding Unlimited, first and directly, SidingUnlimited.com.
Well, the Brewers remain red hot, from pocket pancakes to the manager not knowing the first name of his players who are helping lead them to victories. They have sold this average Joe's sort of mantra and philosophy, Jessica, of, hey, we're just a bunch of no-namers. We're just a bunch of average guys.
Was that Joe? Was that Jim? What? Doesn't matter. Does he have a pocket pancake?
Maybe a waffle or some pizza? I don't know, but it's been a very interesting last several weeks here, as Adam McAlvey has documented on Brewers.com. Adam joins us from Atlanta on the line right now. Hi, Adam.
Hi, guys. I know your first name, so we're off to a better start than Murph last.
We are off to a good start. A pocket pancake kind of feels like something you might find at the fair.
Yeah, it would be covered in bugs or whatever the thing is this year. It's he's done that for years. I did a story. I was proud to have written about this last year because when this came up on the broadcast, I, of course, jumped out and threw my story out there on social media because I did a story of guys' favorite stories about Murph, and they told me about these pouch pancakes and waffles. And the best one to me was Joey Ortiz says he was out there in spring training on a field once. Murph walks out, says hello, and just without saying a word, pulls an egg roll out of his pocket. So
an egg roll?
Pocket egg roll.
That seems messy. It's in flaky, right? All those flakes in your pocket?
Well, you've got a clubhouse staff to worry about that. You know, you've got guys to they've got all the Shout or Tide pens or whatever they use to get out a lot worse than egg roll grease.
Well, and it works on a TV broadcast during the middle of a game when you're 20 games above 500, have the best record in baseball,
for
and like
sure.
Nothing is going wrong, right? I mean, it's a totally different situation if the Brewers aren't in this position.
Totally, Greg. And I remember us talking about this in sort of the preseason or as the season was just getting going. I still believe the most amazing stat of last year's Brewers was that they did not lose four in a row. And it was fun. It was freewheeling Murph. It was, you know, a totally different. Think about it. We talk to the media talks to the managers twice a day, every day. I mean, imagine the change in our lifestyle going from Craig Counsell, who's wonderful. I'm not saying anything bad about talking to Craig Counsell, but a little more dry and serious than Pat Murphy. It was just such a change. And it was like, well, how's it going to go this year if now they traded Devin Williams on top of trading Corbin Burns the year before? Maybe this is a year they take a step back. And then they come out of the gates, remember, lose four in a row and get pretty well smoked in those four games. And it was like, okay, what's this experience going to be like? And lo and behold, they turn it completely around. They turn the pitching totally around. Thanks, you know, Quinn Priester is so key to that and holding those pieces together when they were so banged up by injuries early. And then a guy like Isaac Collins, who, I mean, you know, I don't think we spent a lot of time talking about Isaac Collins early in the season. I don't think anybody did. And credit to him, he's had this incredible June and July, and he's right in the middle of the Rookie of the Year race now. And he's just not a player, as Murph said, who a lot of people knew about coming in, including, by the way, me.
It's good stuff.
So, Adam, we just had, you know, this is Wisconsin State Fair. We just had all these people popping in, and we've got some Brewers fans out there right now. Let's not bury the lead here. Since you wrote about the pocket pancakes a couple years ago, where do you actually get these? Because there was a second yesterday where I said to Greg, I don't want to start a controversy, but I was wondering if it wasn't really a little pancake and if it was like a vanilla wafer, because it looks similar, and I thought it'd be much easier to put a vanilla wafer in your pocket than a little pancake.
No, these are legit pancakes. Like, he's known for this in spring training, I believe, where they have a nice kitchen now in the clubhouse, and he'll walk in and he'll just stock up on legit pancakes and waffles and just toss them in his pocket. No syrup, obviously, just a nice dry pancake to get a little jolt of energy when you're out there on the field.
Just to have a little something,
yeah,
something.
Okay.
All right,
yeah,
okay.
No,
well,
I mean,
now that I hear it from Adam, I know it's legit. It was a legit pocket pancake.
And he was,
yeah, these are not like cookies that he stashed in there. He really pulled a pancake out of his pocket on national television the other night.
Adam, so here's my thoughts on Jacob Mizorowski. So he hits the injured list. He's got a contusion on his tibia, so he was hit by a batted ball. Okay, so he sits. So part of me says, well, if it were a playoff game, could Miz have pitched? And my answer to myself was yes, because yeah. I think they're trying to manage his innings, right? They want to make sure he's fresh for the postseason, and they know that he's exceeded the amount of innings he's ever thrown in his career. They got to be careful with him. I get that. Is that equal parts to what is going on here and why he's on the injured list?
Yeah, I think it is. You know, I had the same reaction at first. You sort of roll your eyes and go, yeah, right. And I know a lot of people did that. But, you know, I think it is a legitimate concern that he didn't bounce back the way they thought he would. I mean, he got hit pretty flush there. And then at the same time, yes, it also helps him manage his innings. So I think this is a case where both things are a little bit true. He is legitimately banged up. He also legitimately is butting up against some innings numbers that make them uncomfortable. Not at this point, but if you kind of project forward, if he continues to get better and better and is able to go deeper in games and the team goes deeper like they want to do in October, obviously, you know, you map this forward. If the Brewers can hang on and get to the postseason, they're pretty tough out in the postseason when you have Freddie Peralta, Jacob Mizorowski, Quinn Priester at the, you know, top of a rotation. And, you know, they want him to be full go at that time and not to be under any restrictions. So they're finding, you know, ways to manage that now. So I don't think anybody wants him to get smoked by a line drive in the shin, but it did give an opportunity to kind of take another breather. He was yesterday, we saw him running back and forth and he had a good sweat on. So, you know, he's doing his lifting, doing whatever throwing he's able to do, still getting work in, but just not piling up those innings. And they really want him to be able to pitch important innings in September and beyond. And this is a way to kind of manage that.
Adam, you know I'm always taking a peek at your stories, but I have to ask you about somebody else's story. This case, 35 minutes ago from the Washington Post, it says the Brewers are the best team in baseball. That shouldn't be possible. I know you understand that headline very well. Can you explain to the fans?
Yeah, well, look, I mean, that's from Chelsea James, who's wonderful, by the way. She took a break from sports and went and covered politics and then came back to sports. So I think you guys, because you dabble in a little bit of everything, can understand how Chelsea's life has wavered over the last couple of years. But Anyway, last night's game is a great story of the 2025 Brewers. By like all measures, that's not a game they should have won. They had three hits in the game, and two of them didn't leave the infield. The one that did was a three-run homer and a 3-1 win. And if that doesn't tell you the story of this team, I'm not sure what does. And as Pat Murphy pointed out last night, if you really, really want to get serious and dissect the way that they hit that three-run homer, there's all these little moves that happen on the bases before Isaac Collins came to the plate. And even as Isaac Collins is standing there waiting for a full-count pitch, you've got Christian Yelich at first, and you've got second base open because of something William Contreras did earlier that was really, really subtle that you didn't even notice in the moment, but Pat Murphy did. And because the base is open, maybe the pitcher's worried about Yelich running, and he throws a cookie to Isaac Collins. And Isaac Collins, because he's this newly confident player based on what he's done the last couple of months and really cemented himself as a big leaguer, puts a great swing on a ball, hits a three-run homer that wins the game. It's like all these tiny little things that went right, and it led to something really good. And the key is, then they pitched lights out. And Quinn Priester gave up a home run on the first pitch of the game yesterday at the bottom of the first inning and then gave up nothing for seven. So when you have really good pitching, when you play good defense and you prevent runs, you can win with these little things on offense and you don't necessarily have to slug. And that's what the Brewers are going to test as they get to October. I went back to find the last World Series winner that was below average slugging percentage. You have to go all the way back to the Giants in 2012. And that was a great pitching team with all sorts of aces in their rotation. So the Brewers are going to try to kind of buck the recent trend that slug, that home runs are really important to winning the World Series. And it's nights like last night that kind of show you the blueprint for when it all goes right, this is what they can look like.
Pretty amazing run. The Brewers begin the day with a 3-game lead over the Cubs. They do have a pretty big 5-game series coming up in Chicago a little later in the month. Not to look too far ahead, Adam, real quick. Any thought or idea that Jackson Churio could be available for that series, or too early to tell there?
Too early to tell, because this is more serious than initially they thought. So it's he's not really doing baseball activities as far as I know. He's doing some physical activity now, but not baseball. So he's they're going to be careful with that, because, again, you're trying to do this with an eye on making a run, and he could be a really important part of that. And just a note, you're talking three games ahead of the Cubs. That means three games ahead of the rest of baseball, because the Brewers and Cubs have the best two records in the game right now. It's really kind of incredible.
Hey, and Adam, did the Heart and Hustle Award winners come out?
They did. Sal Frelick is the Brewer. I don't know who you would give it to besides Sal Frelick. It probably should be named the Sal Frelick Award, because he's the one always running into walls and whatnot. And by the way, he has a knee that acted up a little bit on a swing, so he's kind of day-to-day right now, and they're trying to figure that out. But he's hoping to be back in there, available today, maybe plays today. It's rainy. I'm looking out my window now. It's rainy and wet again today, so maybe they'll push it. But a good honor for a guy who sort of personifies heart and hustle.
A little rainy, but there's always a window. Adam McAlvey, Brewers.com,
always
covering the team in Atlanta. Adam, enjoy the day. Appreciate checking in.
Thank you.
All right. See you guys.
Really good stuff. Brewers begin the day three games ahead of the Cubs in the NL Central.